A girl in Dallas stands transfixed as Apollo rockets tear through the sky, their earth-shaking rumble promising impossible things. That moment of lift, when gravity loses its grip and something heavy becomes weightless, planted a question in young Melinda Gates that would shape decades of work. What if we could create that same moment for half of humanity? This isn't a story about charity or pity. It's about recognizing that when 260 million women in the world's poorest countries use contraceptives, while 200 million more want them but can't get them, we're not just failing individuals, we're anchoring our entire species to the ground. The math is staggering. Proper birth spacing alone increases child survival by 35%. Yet for years, even the Gates Foundation treated family planning as a side project rather than the greatest life-saving, poverty-ending, women-empowering innovation ever created. The turning point came through listening. Women in Malawi, Niger, and Nairobi's slums kept redirecting conversations away from child vaccines toward their own needs. Sadi Saini, a mother of six in Niger, said it plainly, "I can't afford to feed another." Mary in Korogocho slum made backpacks while caring for two children, using contraceptives because life is tough. These weren't abstract policy discussions, they were survival strategies. When Gates finally became a public voice for family planning, despite her Catholic background and fear of controversy, the 2012 London Summit pledged to reach 120 million more women by 2020. Sometimes the most radical act is simply refusing to look away from injustice. In rural India, a newborn lay dying, skin blue, temperature dropping. The baby's aunt refused skin-to-skin contact, citing evil spirits and caste shame. Ruchi, a community health worker, opened her sari, placed the infant against her bare skin, and covered them both. Minutes later, the baby's temperature rose, his skin pinked, he cried. When the mother woke, Ruchi taught her the technique. The story spread. Mothers across the region realized they could be lifesavers. This is effective delivery, understanding the human landscape where solutions take root. As program leader Vishwajit explained, their cup is not empty. You can't just pour your ideas into it. Ati Pujiastuti joined Indonesia's Midwife in Every Village program at 19, building trust through persistence and eventually crossing dangerous rivers at midnight to deliver babies. Dr. Agnes Binagwaho returned to Rwanda after the 1994 genocide to rebuild healthcare. Through community health workers, newborn mortality dropped 64% and maternal mortality fell 77%. These stories prove barriers often stem from limits placed on women, not inherent scarcity. Margaret Sanger opened America's first contraceptive clinic in 1916. 10 days later, she was arrested. The laws were explicit. Distributing, prescribing, advertising, or even discussing contraceptives was criminal. The judge who convicted her declared that women didn't have the right to copulate with a feeling of security that there will be no resulting conception. Over two decades, more than a million desperate women wrote to Sanger begging for help, their letters echoing the same struggles Gates heard from women in developing countries a century later. Anthony Comstock's 1873 laws criminalized contraceptive information, declaring women in makeup disgusting and making clear that women existed primarily to serve men and bear children. Even after some restrictions lifted in 1936, the Supreme Court didn't guarantee single women's right to contraception until 1972. After the London summit, the Vatican newspaper accused Gates of being a former Catholic who had gone astray. The criticism stung, but her conscience, informed by Catholic teachings about loving one's neighbor, tells her that when a mother of six who can't bear another child asks for help, love becomes more urgent than doctrine. 10-year-old Sona lived among trash in Kanpur, India, where her low-caste community survived by sorting refuse. When Foundation colleague Gary Darmstadt visited, Sona approached with a handmade parrot toy. "I want a teacher," she asked 50 times. While adults discussed family planning, Sona grasped something deeper. Without education, children would still end up picking trash. Her persistence led partners to help register the community's land, qualifying them for government services, including schools. Data confirms Sona's intuition. Educating girls advances every public good: higher wages, faster income growth, more productive farming, reduced early marriage, delayed first births, and improved family planning. Half of recent child survival gains stem from maternal education alone. In Floyd County, Kentucky, one of America's most economically devastated regions, student achievement climbed from 145th to 12th statewide. The most profound lesson wasn't algebra, but a new self-concept. We are the smart kids. Mexico's Oportunidades program paid families to send children to school, more for girls to counter dropout trends. Within 20 years, Mexico achieved gender parity across all education levels. But education's most transformative aspect isn't economic. It's how it changes self-image. When girls at Sister Sutha's Prerna School learn karate, they gain not just physical protection, but profound self-worth. Women worldwide spend 7 years more of their lives on unpaid labor than men, enough time to complete both bachelor's and master's degrees. Instead, it's spent cooking, cleaning, gathering water, caring for children. In India, women average 6 hours daily on unpaid work, while men spend less than one. Even in Norway, it's 3.5 hours versus three. When women reduce unpaid work hours, they increase paid work participation by 20%. Marilyn Waring, elected to New Zealand's parliament at 23, revolutionized economic thinking by exposing this invisible value. Her 1988 book, If Women Counted, calculated that unpaid women's work would be the largest sector of the global economy if properly counted. In rural Malawi, Gates witnessed transformative dialogues when men and women mapped their daily schedules side by side, making the stark disparity undeniable. When women exclusively handle caregiving, men never develop nurturing skills, while women's other talents remain buried. Gates shares her own journey toward equal partnership with Bill, from feeling invisible early in their marriage to finding her voice. The essential question becomes whether your primary relationship contains love, respect, reciprocity, teamwork, and mutual growth. Inside a dimly lit Ethiopian church, Gates met 10 girls aged 10-11. Half were married, half still in school. The contrast was devastating. Married girls spoke in whispers, defeated and voiceless, while those in school radiated confidence. Selim described being tricked at age 11, thinking she was helping prepare a party until her father announced it was her wedding. Molly Melching showed Gates a different approach. After arriving in Senegal as an exchange student in the 1970s, Molly created Toastin with a revolutionary philosophy. Outrage might save individual girls, but only empathy transforms entire systems. Toastin's facilitators live in villages for 3 years, guiding community-wide conversations without judgment, helping villagers envision their island of tomorrow while teaching health, literacy, and human rights. After months of debate in one village, the midwife courageously described witnessing difficult births in cut women, prompting others to share painful experiences. The community decided to abandon female genital cutting, but faced a challenge. They couldn't change alone when intermarrying with surrounding communities. An imam walked to neighboring villages until all collectively abandoned the practice. This approach has spread to 8,500 communities across 8 nations, with over 3 million people pledging to end harmful practices. Patricia, a Malawian farmer, worked tirelessly yet struggled to provide basics. Women farmers achieve 20-30% lower yields than men solely due to unequal resources. With equal access, they could feed 100 to 150 million more people worldwide. Patricia joined Care Pathways, which teaches farming and equality. When her husband attended sessions, they role-played switching places. She ordered him around while he complied. This opened his eyes. Their partnership transformed Patricia into a seed multiplier, a prestigious role requiring exceptional skill. With his support, their half-acre plot produced enough to supply other farmers and plant 4 times more land. Gender discrimination pervades global law. Russia bans women from 456 jobs. Yemen requires husbands' permission for women to leave home. 39 countries favor sons in inheritance, while 113 lack equal pay laws. The U.S. has no guaranteed paid maternity leave. Today's workplaces were designed for employees with stay-at-home partners, a reality that no longer exists. Paid family leave reduces infant mortality, increases breastfeeding, decreases postpartum depression, and encourages equal household labor. Hans Rosling's wisdom: remember that you have to go to the people on the margins. The Avahan program in India proved this works. Sex workers achieved 94% compliance with preventative HIV medication, one of only two groups worldwide to succeed. These marginalized women became essential partners in a national plan that saved millions. Nobel laureate Lema Gboe helped end Liberia's civil war through a women's peace movement. She gathered thousands of Muslim and Christian women who demonstrated for peace, pressuring warring factions to negotiate. When talks stalled, 200 women blocked the meeting hall entrance until agreement was reached. The women succeeded where men failed. They absorbed pain without passing it on, breaking the cycle of vengeance. For women trapped in poverty or intimidated by powerful men, solutions begin when women meet, talk, organize, and lead. Lasting change comes not from power struggles, but moral appeals exposing gender bias. True transformation means including everyone, even those who want to exclude us. While equality has been the stated goal, it's merely a milestone toward connection. People can be equal, yet isolated. In Tanzania, Anna challenged norms by demanding her husband Sanare help fetch water so she could nurse their child. Despite mockery, Sanare persisted, inspiring other men to build water catchment systems. When Gates met Anna, their exchange wasn't about one helping the other. It was mutual inspiration, two women from different worlds meeting on the margins. The moment of lift isn't about one person ascending while others watch. It's about creating conditions where gravity loses its grip on everyone. When we remove barriers holding women down, we discover we've been trying to fly with one wing all along. The real goal isn't equality, but belonging, a universal love that lifts everyone together. That's when we all rise, not in sequence, but as one.